everybody, and welcome back to Mastering Risk Management, the podcast that covers all things of interest to chief risk officers and heads of risk and anybody who's got a general interest in risk management. And today, and it's becoming a bit of a trend, we're talking to another special guest from the US. So Paul Katzoff is our guest today. And Paul's been working for over a decade with technology companies, and he seeks manageable growth and brand loyalty and expansion. He has managed a team of account executives responsible for increasing their client base, securing new business, developing and implementing processes and systems, and of course, sales of customer and enterprise software. So currently, Paul serves as the CEO of White Canyon Software, a premier provider of data erasure software located in American Fork, Utah. So welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for having me on Mastering Risk Management. I appreciate it. Yeah, pleasure to be here and happy to have a discussion with you about data security. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And I'm fascinated about the data erasure component, so I can't wait to get into that. But before we do, let's have a quick chat about Paul himself first. So tell us a little bit about your career, how it's unfolded, how you got to where you are at the moment.
Sure. So I did my undergraduate degree in hospitality and tourism management, and I went and got my MBA up from Utah State here in Utah. And I tried some other degree, tried a law degree, tried actually, as I mentioned to you earlier, I tried a entrepreneurship master's degree down at QUT, Queensland University of Technology. Yeah. Didn't work out, unfortunately, and decided to enter the workforce. And actually got a job back here up in Utah at White Canyon Software back in 08. So started here in tech support. I wasn't earning very much working full time. And just did consumer support back then. Yep. And our main product was WipeDrive, which is a drive erasure tool. And from there, the company moved into enterprise data erasure. And I moved up into support manager, enterprise support manager, and kind of ran that team for about two and a half years. And kind of got, I don't know if the word's bored, but you kind of reached the end of, you know, the expertise of it and the excitement. And they offered to move me into sales. And I said, all right. Actually, I should put a little caveat on there. I said, all right. But in my mind, all the salespeople were kind of greasy, you know, untrustable, just, you know, they're just there to like sell you and disappear. And I didn't feel really that would be a great fit. I said I'd do it because I was kind of bored with what I was doing. And I thought, okay, I can make more money. Let me try it. And actually, it was a great fit. I loved it. I started working with corporations that others would just dream about. The data erasure market is such a little niche that we would get calls from big players, Marriott, Holiday Inn, Citibank, BNY Mellon. These guys would do research and find us and call us up and say, hey, we're looking for a data erasure product. And so I'd get to work with these large organizations, giant corporations with a huge architecture, huge needs, headaches, pain points, issues. And I got to just kind of work with them on what we do. I was able to kind of say, okay, we don't do that, but you know, let's see if we can do that. Or can you change your process to fit us a little better? You know, how can we make this work for you? And it was really fun. Like you would do all this work for, you know, 2 or 3 months, and then nothing would happen. And then a PO would hit your inbox. And that was your sundae or your big cherry on top from the effort you did. It was great. I really enjoyed that. So I was in sales here for 8 years. After about 7 or 8 years, I realized, hey, I need to get out there in the workforce or get out there in the industry, see what other corporations are doing, things like that. So I moved on to a couple other companies for a year or two, and they had a leadership change here at White Canyon, and they called me up and said, hey, you know, we have an opportunity for you to come back as CEO. We want you to run the company. You know it inside and out. You've done support. You've done sales. We think you can come back and really kind of drive us into 2020, drive us into this whole data security, data erasure kind of change in the market, the new technology, as well as new regulations, GDPR, all these types of scenarios that are going on.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fool. I accepted, said absolutely, I'd love to. Came back, I've been here in this role for about 3 years, came back about 3.5 years ago, and it's been really fun. I think the progression of Data Erasure has gone from kind of old hat, you know, it's not very sexy. It's something that's been around since the 70s or 80s, just not very new, to something that's very required. It's part of the IT life cycle. It's part of the asset management life cycle. And it's kind of reaching that maturation where all organizations are saying, okay, what do we do? How do we erase or destroy our data? And then also on that side, how do we help the circular economy? How do we recycle our drives or reuse our drives? What are some other things we can do instead of physical destruction? Yeah. That's kind of been our little niche for a number of years. And I personally think it'll be here for another 5, 10 years, maybe longer. It's a part of that IT asset life cycle now.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. And it sounds like a fascinating space in, you know, fascinating, I guess, but also it's mandatory now that organizations, I guess, get across this stuff. So you mentioned GDPR. Is it the California Consumer Protection Act, the CCPA, or whatever it's called? You know, New Zealand, I know, has got some very tough privacy act. Australia is reviewing all its at the moment. So it's a space that organizations really don't have a choice in. So can you talk to me about the product? You mentioned the software and how that works. I mean, I'm not a technical person, and I'm sure a lot of my listeners aren't either. But how does this work in layman's terms?
Yeah, great. I'd be happy to kind of get into that for you. So with WipeDrive, we securely erase your drives or any type of memory-based device. So whether that's a workstation, a laptop, computer, desktop, a server, mobile device, you name it, we can erase it. That's kind of our expertise. The hard part comes in is when you're trying to erase devices across a network or thousands or hundreds of thousands of devices, how you can kind of make that process efficient. So that's kind of where we sit at. There's a lot of tools in the market. The expertise to erase a drive isn't really like rocket science. But to have the certifications behind you saying that you work, and then having the high compatibility to say that you work on 87% of devices is one of those things that it takes years for your corporation or organization to get to. And that's why we're really proud of WipeDrive. It's been a great tool for years. And we see with the new technology changes, NVDIMMs, other types of memory-based devices, that kind of cat and mouse game is going to continue on for the next, you know, however long. You know, 10 years, 15 years, who knows, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So with the software, I mean, probably a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, Paul. So I did attend a company directors program here in Australia, and one of the guys doing the course was a forensic IT guy. And he said, listen, unless you know, you've burnt the disk drive and drilled holes through it with a drill and done something else, he said, I can get data off it. So how does it remove it? I mean, is it absolutely gone, or could, you know, Department of Defense or CIA or someone do something to actually retrieve it anyway?
Great question. And that's been kind of the rumors and kind of the unknown there with Data Erasure for many years. And that kind of comes from the old hard drive type of processes. The whole old hard drives from 2005, maybe 2010 as well, when they wrote the bits, the zero and ones onto the drive, yep. And they'd go and come back around and rewrite it, they wouldn't do it exactly on the same path. So what happened is there was something they'd call bit shadows. So if you took an electric magnifying glass or, you know, microscope, put that on that and zoomed in, you might be able to see the zeros and ones that are a little offset and be able to tell the difference and therefore, quote unquote, recreate the data. Right. That's long since passed. If you talk to Western Digital, Seagate, Toshiba, any of the drive manufacturers nowadays, these hard drives are so precise on where they put those bits. There's absolutely zero chance of getting off a bit shadow or any type of other information off that. So those old rumors kind of spoke to was a possibility in the past. But new technology on the hard drives has solved that. SSDs is a whole different, can of worms where there's a whole different types of data storage and access to it and how you can kind of recover that data. And that's all being addressed by different ATA commands and other things out there in the industry.
So WipeDrive addresses SSDs and all of those sort of technologies? Yeah.
Okay. Correct. Yeah. So with SSDs, you have a different type of storage mechanism. It's flash media. And these flash chips, they actually have, you know, if you have 120 gigabyte device, you'll probably have 150 gigabyte of actual chips on that device because they go bad so often. So what happens is it is using all 150 gigabytes, but you're only accessed to 120 gigabytes. And most erasure software out there, it's getting better now, but most of them wouldn't correctly address that additional space. So that's being being properly addressed by ATA commands, secure erase, sanitize disk, those kind of commands. And that's been going on now properly for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. But before then, there was a bunch of issues with software out there.
Yeah, I'm sure. So I guess for the listeners, the CIO in the organization or CTO is probably right across this stuff and thinking, well, yeah, I know what I need to do, or I've got an idea of what I need to do. But what advice would you give the chief risk officer? You know, so potentially not a very technical person, but you know, needs to make sure they get comfort that there's a process. So what advice would you talk to heads of risk or chief risk officers about in terms of this data erasure protocols and what they should be looking for?
You know, with the CRO, what we'd say to them is, first off, you need to understand your regulations that you're under and which penalties and fines that you're kind of liable for if there is data breaches or data violations on your side. And then from there, build out what you need to do on your side, what you need to do as far as the processes and managing your data. You know, you need to classify your data. You need to, you know, prevent access to your data. But also on the end of life, you need to come up with a process to adequately erase that data or get rid of it. And nowadays, with the big push for circular economy, we just recommend erasure over physical destruction. And that's kind of the big argument on many sides is what's best. You mentioned earlier, you know, drilling a hole through it or burning it, what's better, or shredding it. We hope that our software and other erasure software tools out there are adequate and can address that erasure so well with verification, third-party verification, forensic evaluation, things like that, that as a chief risk officer, you feel comfortable, absolutely comfortable and assured to say, hey, we've erased these devices. We can now resell them. We can reallocate them, reuse them, whatever we like to. All the data has been securely erased. We're all set.
Yeah. Okay. And what would that look like for an organization? Is there they acquire the White Canyon software. Is it something that they just have a routine where, you know, equipment's identified as end of life. The software, what happens is the software is just loaded on, a process is run, and that's it. How does that?
Yeah, it could happen many different ways. It depends on the organization. One of our organizations we work with out here is a large tax corporation. So they have two or three workstations or laptops at every location. They have 1,500 locations across the U.S., and they need to erase each one. So for that environment, they took our EXE or installable remote kill tool, and they said, okay, we're going to push this out via Active Directory. It's going to go out. It's going to erase all these devices out, you know, on this date and time. Or they probably did by regions, right?
Yeah.
But either way, they get through that, and it provides a report back via email back to their system or back to their database. And they can say, okay, those three devices have been erased at that location. It can be securely, you know, they can then be resold or whatever happens, doesn't matter. All that data is gone. We have other organizations where they are much different. They have, you know, 25,000 loose drives to process, and they're sitting in a container unit, you know, on the side of their premise, and they're saying, okay, how do we erase these 25,000 devices? We'd like to, you know, drives, we'd like to resell them or dispose of them, whatever we need to do, but we can't. We need to have a report that all the data is gone. And in that situation, you know, we have some appliances that we call flex stations. They allow you to erase 24 at a time. You can daisy chain those together. You can set up your own system of USB wiping loose drives, whatever you like to do on your side, and you can start to push through
100, 200 at a time, maybe even 500 at a time, and get to that point where you're processing these drives day in, day out, and get that 25,000 down to zero, and then on to another headache or another issue you need to solve.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different architectures out there, lots of different environments. We understand that. We've been doing this for 22 years.
Yep.
Since 1998, we started with a nice little 3.5-inch floppy diskette.
Yeah.
So we know what our customers need. We have a lot of different implementations that work for them. It's just a matter of having that conversation, figuring out what they have right now, what they'd like to do, and kind of give a recommendation that would work for all parties involved, make sure it's a good fit.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Listen, the concept is great, and to be able to recycle this and rather than send it to e-waste is absolutely brilliant. I know I've worked for an organisation here that had a lot of computer turnover. You know, they wanted to keep up to date. They wanted and started donating the older computers to schools to get them up to speed. But one of the devices had something on it, and that stopped the whole program. And you think, geez, what a shame. So this sounds fantastic.
Yeah, you would be surprised. Like I said earlier, I've been here for 12 years. You would be surprised how many times I've gotten a call from a Fortune 500 company, and they've said, hey, don't tell anyone, but we haven't been erasing our data. We've just been selling our computers. We've just been turning them back off lease. And we've come to realize we need to incorporate a data erasure tool. Yeah. What can you do? How can you help us? And I think it's because, data erasure is an old, it's not new. It's something that's been used for years, but I think it's also been kind of overlooked, or the data hasn't been as valuable, or the fines from data breaches haven't been so great in the past.
Yeah.
And since those have changed, the view of data erasure is kind of adjusted, and they said, okay, how are we managing it? What does our data security policy address this issue, and how should it address this issue? What should we do? And that's been kind of spurring that change and growth. And I think it's a great one. There's something on our side, there's 150 million drives shredded every year. If you can imagine the secondhand market out there, or, computers for kids or third world countries, if these drives weren't shredded and were just used for, say, storage or cloud network, it could dramatically drop the price of cost for a computer or cost for cloud storage to have more access for, like you said earlier, students or charities or other nonprofit organizations. So there's a huge need. We're trying to get people away from that physical shredding, physical destruction, have them feel that reassurance about data wiping. We're hoping in the future, it moves into that realm. And best, our hope is.
Yeah, absolutely. And Paul, if the organization's turning over, say, mobile phones and those sort of things, cell phones, does the program address that as well?
Absolutely. So it's a different program. Our main program reboots into kind of a Linux OS and erases it because we can't do it through the internal OS. We can't erase that internal drive. But with mobile devices, we're able to erase Android, iOS devices. Simply, you just plug those into a Windows computer. You run our software on that computer, and it finds, I think it's 20 devices at a time, securely erases them, resets the encryption key, flashes the memory, puts on a new version of the OS, whatever that is, and gets those ready to sell as well. What's also nice is there's diagnostics. So it'll go through, it'll test the power key, the volume keys, the screen as well, go through all those different points to make sure that device is worth reselling or in good shape as well.
Yeah, excellent. So it's a whole of sort of organization solution. Anything that's got data on it, you can address. Tell me, this might sound like a weird and wonderful question, and maybe it's a future thing as well, but is there a capability to be targeted? We were talking about GDPR earlier and the California legislation, some of those sort of things. Is there a capability to be very targeted about the actual data you're erasing? So rather than wiping, the whole disk, so it's either all or nothing, can you be targeted with this stuff as well?
That's difficult. So we have a data erasure or data file and folder erasure tool called SecureClean, and that worked perfectly for hard drives and platter-based devices. The issue with SSDs is they store each individual file in different blocks and different sectors all over the SSD. And those blocks and files are areas are constantly being changed as it kind of clears out memory chips or moves memory chips or makes things more efficient on its side. So if you were to, say, erase a file on an SSD, it would still be in different parts of that SSD. And so the next part is what you'd have to do is you have to go through and clear the free space on that SSD. Well, that's fine for like a single data spill. That's okay. But if you're running it every week or every other week on your computer to erase files and securely erase the free space, your SSD life cycle is going to go from 3.5 to 4 years down to 18 months, maybe 15 months. Yeah. So we kind of see that area as kind of getting a little bit out of date, or just there's issues with multiple secure file erasures. So that's a big concern with SSDs. For data spills, it's perfect. If you have a computer that got a data spill on it, you can run it on it, clear all the information off of your set. But day-to-date or weekly type of erasure is problematic.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a challenge. You know, a couple of the organizations we're working with, you know, have been around for a very long time, you know, 70, 80 years or whatever. And, you know, all of that data they've collected over time under new regimes like GDPR, you know, somebody contacts the organization and says, I want you to delete my records. The first question is scratching their head and saying, well, where are the records? Right?
Are they paper? Are they electronic?
Yeah, exactly.
What form are they, you know, film? What are they? Microfiche? Yeah. What, you know?
Yeah.
First off, I love that GDPR is addressing this. Yeah. It's going to take years for these large, old organizations to properly be able to do it. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I think that control over personal information is really important for every citizen throughout the world.
Yeah.
Knowing who knows what about you, with the AI capabilities out there and other things and potentially bad actors or people trying to influence your decision, your behavior, knowing who has access to that data is, I think it's just barely reaching the public consciousness of the power of it.
Yeah.
I'm excited for these other laws. I mean, you talk about the California data privacy law. That one is the U.S. most strict data privacy law. And we're working on a federal data privacy law as well, as soon as we get through these elections and everything that's going on here.
Yeah.
But the California one will be the base point. The federal one has to be as strict as that one. But what's sad and unfortunate is that California one doesn't have fines and other financial penalties like GDPR. It doesn't have the teeth.
Right.
So it's nice. It addresses a number of good issues. But I wish it had that kind of that push, that financial push saying, hey, this is how important data is, consumer data. And you're going to see more and more identity thefts or repeated identity thefts where your information is stolen over and over again during your lifetime. Here in the U.S., we have a social security number. If that gets out, you have to go get a whole new social security card. How does that address your payments in the future?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of issues over here with that, the data breaches and data loss. And I'm hoping if we can get some more stringent, unfortunately, a lot of these organizations will only act if there's a financial implication to it or liability.
Yeah.
And when that does happen, I think we're going to see some more improvement. And overall, as safety for each individual, it's going to get to that level it needs to get to. Right now, it's not, but it will need to.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's true. It's the awareness is great, but, you know, that's got to translate into action. And you see, I don't know what your experience is, but, you know, when you're talking about corporate mandated processes and systems, particularly after there's been a few cybersecurity incidents and those sort of things happened, you know, there tends to be some really good discipline in many cases. But it's the how do you manage the situation where someone says, well, you know, that software doesn't do exactly what I want it to do, so I'm going to make a copy of the data and put it in an Excel spreadsheet and I'm going to manipulate it how I need to do it to do my job with all good intention.
Sure.
But then that PC goes out and gets recycled and, you know, it's not in the corporate, you know, system. It's sort of sitting there in a spreadsheet, but it's all sensitive data. So,
yeah.
You know,
And that's happened recently with this remote workforce. You know, Australia and the U.S.,
yeah,
we've had 95% of our workforce go remote.
Yep.
And I don't think everyone was assigned a work laptop. So you have home, you have your employees at home on their home Wi-Fi network, accessing your computers or your network through a VPN, but they're downloading that data to their home computer and then addressing it or using it. And maybe they forget about it. Maybe they don't securely erase it. And all of a sudden it's on all of these devices, you know, throughout the country. And if it gets resold or donated and it gets found, you know, how do you, it's a big liability or big vulnerability on your side, but also as an organization, are you allowed to tell your client or your employee, hey, you need to erase your home computer and give me a report?
Yeah,
so you're back in the office, erase your home computer.
Yeah.
You're going to have some not so happy employee.
Absolutely.
And also, how do they do it? Do they even know how to do it? There's some big headaches here.
Absolutely. You know, there'd be a rebellion, I think, here in Australia if everybody said, wipe out your home computer. So that'd be a real challenge. One of the things I did too, Paul, was have a look at your website, and I just flagged for the listeners a lot of the resources you've got on your website, which are fantastic. I have in front of me a document called 7 Security Gaps You May Have Missed in Your Drive Retirement and Disposal Process. So for the listeners, I'd certainly commend them to that report. But what would you, as a sort of a summary, what would you suggest a chief risk officer, head of risk, you know, what would you suggest they go and do, you know, as soon as they stop listening to this podcast? What would be the actions you'd say, hey, listen, just go and check these things and make sure you're comfortable?
I think they need to do discovery. Talk to your IT managers. Your IT managers are overwhelmed with tasks because everything is on the IT side now. Talk to your IT managers and discover what's being done. Discover how the data is being managed, where it's at, how it's being processed, and if it is or not.
Yep.
And don't
yep.
get into questions of why not. Don't get in questions of what you should be doing or telling them what to do. Just do a discovery across your organization. Where all the data is located? Is it? Do you have employees working remote from home computers? If so, who are those employees? Do you know that computer serial ID number for later in case you need it? Do you, you know, where else is data being stored? Are there loose drives in a storage facility 3 miles away that you didn't know about, you know, that's just been sitting there for 7 years, and that's where they put their old IT junk and their old phones and everything else? Discover what's being done on the IT asset side. That will lead you to the natural next step, is how to process it, how to get rid of this, and also the value here. I mean, there's a lot of devices out there that are still worth quite a bit of money. And if you can turn around and resell them, there's ITADs, there's secondhand processors that'll buy in bulk from you. They will come, they will process those systems for you. They'll provide you the erasure reports, and they'll work out pricing with you to take those devices from you. And they'll do the reselling and all the headache after that. So there's third-party providers that are in this industry, you know, designed to take care of this headache for you. But I think as a chief risk officer, you need to go and find out what's being done. You need to discover, and then that'll lead you through the rest of the process.
Fantastic. No, that's great advice, Paul. I think first understanding the problem. So baseline, where you're at today, understand the gaps. That's fantastic. So Paul, how's the best way for people to talk to White Canyon? I think, you know, this is going to raise some serious questions for some people. Is it via the website?
Yep.
How's the best way for people to get in touch?
Absolutely. Reach out to us at whitecanyon.com. We have a bunch of partners down in, you know, Australia with you guys down there. We're here in the U.S. We're in Europe, U.K. as well. We're a global organization, so we have a lot of clients that we can have as references for you if you'd like a referral or a reference. But we'd love to talk with you, discuss your data security needs, what you're trying to solve, how you'd like to solve it, and see if our tool is a good fit for what your needs are.
Excellent. No, that's fantastic. Paul, that has been fascinating. It's an interesting space, and it's a space that's yet to have its full time, I think. It's something that a lot of organisations haven't yet sort of, you know, put the thinking cap on about as well. So, you know, that's been a fascinating chat. Really appreciate your time and your insights, and I'm sure the listeners will have really found this quite fascinating. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate being on Mastering Risk Management. I appreciate the chance to speak with you and your audience. And thanks again.
Thanks, Paul. And to the listeners, thank you very much for tuning in again. I hope you found today's session as interesting as I did. It's seriously a big opportunity for organisations. I see it as I work with organisations in the risk space, and the fact that there are solutions out there like this is fantastic. You've just got to find them, you've got to understand your problem and get onto it. So thanks again for listening to Mastering Risk Management. I'm Anthony Wilson, and we will chat again soon. Cheers.